Hello, and welcome to another episode of Differently Brained, the podcast where no brain is the same. I'm Lachlan Rutherford.
And I'm Jacinta Dietrich. And today, the tables have turned. Things have been flipped.
Oh, no.
Wicked, wicked, wicked. That's me, DJing. Nailed it. And I'm going to be asking Lachlan all about 2023 and the year that was for Lachlan and Differently Brained. So just to be clear as well, by the way, everyone, I hadn't seen any of the questions for the last episode. Lachlan also hasn't seen any of the questions I'm going to ask him for this episode. So
we're doing it live.
Yeah, let's go. What has Differently Brained meant to you this year? You can answer that in a lot of different ways. I just know that that was one of the things that we talked about in our get to know you at the very, very start of what does it mean to be starting this project. Was it what you expected? What has it meant?
Look, I'll be honest with you. No, it's not what I expected. It's bigger than that. And you said that much the same thing in your answer to this question, similar question. I thought that it would be a side project that I would be doing every fortnight or whatever to keep me doing, you know, something with my time. And it ended up being that plus extra.
Yeah, remember that time mid-year where I was like, we should go weekly.
Yeah, oh my God. The biggest thing that it's meant for me is it's kept me focused on something that is ultimately good. I've been able to, you know, set up my computer and everything after we finished recording an episode and spend a day editing. And I come out at the end of that feeling very accomplished and very proud of myself, which is not something I often am. So cheers to that podcast. Good on you. Aside from that, though, I'm not just proud of myself. I'm proud of us, generally speaking, but also I'm proud of the podcast as its own kind of thing in the world. Like, I'm proud that it exists. I always will find a time to tell people about it when I'll be dropping it in somewhere in conversation. And it's not, I mean, part of it is to give my ego a bit of a stroke, but it's also like, I do think that people should be listening to it because it's bloody good what we do. And it's not only that, it's good. The stuff that the people, that the guests say, it's so much more real and personal to me as a listener than if I was to read something sort of clinically in a, I don't know, Wikipedia article or whatever. Like, you're actually talking to and engaging with people who have the lived experience, and that's what's going to change the world, that kind of interaction with people. So, yeah, I guess I'm just saying that Differently Brained is going to change the world for the better.
Well, yeah, fair enough. If that's what it's meant to you, great. It's changed your world, let's be honest. Yes. I now, you know, accidentally run 2 to 3 days of your week. And, you know, things did change dramatically from, oh, we'll just do a fortnightly episode when we feel like it, to Lachlan, the people want more. We'll be doing a weekly episode. Thank you.
Lachlan, the people want more Instagram videos of you being an idiot. Go, make it happen.
They love them. Did you think that, because when we first started, you were very apprehensive. Mm-hmm. How did you go tackling your imposter syndrome of being one half of a semi-successful podcast?
I'm very glad you asked this question, Jacinta.
Has that changed?
The way that I deal with it has changed. The actual sentiment itself has not changed. Because when I, like, sometimes when I'm editing the stuff and I'll hear myself asking questions that I inevitably try and put into my own words and it just ends up being word salad. Or, like, you know, the fact that you contact so many people and are putting out all of this social media content. And I do get that imposter syndrome because I don't think that, like, I honestly believe, I'm not, this is not going to happen, by the way, but I believe that you could be the host of Differently Brained. You don't need me, but I enjoy it too much. So deal with it. It comes back to the answer to my first question, though, is that when I feel proud of it, I can then kind of transfer that into being a little bit proud of myself if I let myself be proud of myself. And, yeah, it ultimately, that's the way I deal with it. It's the transferal of pride to something a bit more.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that that has been part of it for you. That just makes me so happy that like we said in the last one, not only does our community get something out of it, but the fact that we do too, in ways that we really, really didn't expect to, has just been so cool and so weird and so amazing.
Yeah, and the apprehension about doing the podcast didn't so much come from the idea that I didn't think that we were capable or any of that. It's that I thought that we would be like basically a drop in the ocean of a billion other podcasts out there. I mean, in many ways, we kind of are, but as you said in your episode, the Spotify statistics show that, you know, it's not that insignificant of a thing. And I've had people, well, my mother mostly, has thrown accolades at me saying, what you're doing is really helping people, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, that's good, whatever, mum, that's just you talking. But other people aside from my mum say that, and part of my imposter syndrome, which is forever prevalent, is that when I hear stuff like that, I usually kind of just defer it to them being nice or deluded or whatever. But the evidence is there. The evidence shows that we actually are helping people and people like it, and that's good. And that's my long-winded answer.
Beautiful answer. Perfect answer. Going back to the start, well, maybe not the start, wherever you feel like it, but what has been your favorite thing about starting a podcast or having a podcast if you'd like that better?
I really like that we get to chat with so many people every fortnight. Well, not every fortnight, but most fortnights, about stuff that they, A, are knowledgeable about, and B, are usually very passionate about. Like, that's the best thing. I'm quite happy to just kind of let them talk and I just absorb what they're saying because it's fascinating and I don't get that opportunity in any other situation unless I'm like, I don't know, watching TV or something and someone is talking at me. Yeah, that I think that's the coolest bit, is being able to have a conversation with certain people. I also like having the community as well. I know that I'm not super engaged with the community, but that's not a personal thing. I'm just not very engaged in any community. but I'll try and fix that next year, I promise. But yeah, like that, having people who are all kind of on the same page is the best thing. Like, I had the same feeling when I went to uni and I was feeling all apprehensive and stuff about uni, and then met you and I met a whole bunch of other people and everyone was on the same page. We all kind of got one another and it clicked. And it's similar to this. Like, we all kind of have a shared understanding of things, which is not to say that it's completely monolithic or homogenous or whatever. It's not. I'm just saying, like, it's got some shared stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Just because we haven't had the exact same experiences doesn't mean that we don't share things and, you know, correct, can empathize and engage. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And that's the thing, like, having a community that is fundamentally based on empathy above anything else, that is also, I think, also my favorite part about having a podcast. As we said in your episode, Jacinta, making something, putting something out into the world, putting us out into the world, if it's not going to do something to be helpful or make some sort of impact or anything like that, in whatever way that you can, but it's kind of not really, like, it's missed the point of being us, I guess. And this podcast as a medium, as an artwork, is grounded in this idea of empathy at its very core. And that kind of just resonates outwards into the little community that is building up around us. It's good. I like it.
I love that. That's a beautiful answer. what's been the hardest or most challenging thing of having a podcast?
Not being able to use Audacity properly. In fact, just Audacity itself. My God. I'm not going to learn a new program to edit with because this one is free and I've been using it for probably over a decade now, on and off. But I've had conniptions because of Audacity before, because I've accidentally gotten rid of a certain wavelength because I'm trying to reduce the background noise and that kind of stuff, and then I listen back and it all just sounds stupid. Or there'll be literal chunks of audio missing or overlapping and that kind of stuff. I'm learning, like, I'm getting better at using Audacity, but Yeah, that is the hardest thing, is the editing. But it's also the thing that once it's done, I feel the most personal reward from. I feel as though I've accomplished something. I've made a thing, or I've assisted in making a thing.
You have made a thing.
Yeah. Well,
it would be absolutely useless garbage if you didn't do your part.
But what I mean is the whole thing as a product is a group effort, I would say. But anyway, the other thing that is difficult, like, I don't think I'm particularly good at talking to people in an interview setting. I'm okay with talking to people once I know them well and jokes are being had and all that kind of stuff. Like, you could hopefully attest to that, Jacinta. But when it's someone who I haven't met before, it's a little bit difficult. And so when I'm a little bit quiet in interviews and they're just start going, like, I think it might come across as me being sort of disinterested or whatever. It does to me, like, listening back. And I'm not disinterested. I'm just bad at talking. So, yeah, that's difficult when I'm just kind of not mentally there. And even that, like, that's even a thing sometimes that happens in other aspects of my life. I think it might be a medication thing, just kind of like a brain fog kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to work on it. Don't you worry. I think that's it. Like, it's pretty, as far as jobs go, and I do stress to people that I do, even though I'm not getting paid, like, this is a job. I'm doing a job that I enjoy. And as far as jobs go, there's not really a lot of things that are just completely heinous about it. Like, if it's just those two things, then it's good. I'm going well.
It's true. In the grand scheme of things and jobs that I've had, I've never had to clean a toilet in this job. I've never had to wipe up someone's vomit in this job. I'm yet to have to perform first aid in this job. So those are all personal wins for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, I've never had to do those things in a job either, but I'm glad that I hopefully will never have to.
My fingers are crossed for you, but, you know, if we ever move to the same city and we're in the same studio and I have a vomit, I'm obviously not cleaning it up, so just saying. You are a bit of a private person, and as you said, you do come across as maybe a little bit shy when you don't know someone.
Mm.
So how is that gone in episodes where I've put you on the spot, because we have done a few Lachlan-based episodes? How have you balanced sharing yourself in the most public way that you have in your life so far and putting yourself out there?
It's kind of a bit miraculous, isn't it, that I'm able to do it at all? I wish I knew the answer really, to that.
I really thought you were going to say no when I approached you and said, hey, I want to start this podcast. Will you do it with me? Because I genuinely thought you'd be like, I'm not telling strangers my business.
Well, I've learned a lot this year, which is that's a full sentence in and of itself. But I've also learned that I am not actually averse to sharing personal things about myself. I don't have that big of a problem. When it comes to actually getting the words together to say it in a way that's not going to make you sound stupid, that's the thing. And, like, now, for example, I'm chatting with you and we could just as easily be having a regular chat. And the fact that this is going to be on an episode that is published on the internet is kind of, like, in the back of my head a little bit. So I'm kind of not even thinking about that. But at the same time, I still have to edit it and I still have to listen back to it. And that, oh my God, that's another thing. Just going back to another question. Difficult thing about doing a podcast that I am on is having to listen to my voice. I don't enjoy my voice very much. I really don't. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. The privacy thing, I think it's also, like, largely because I don't want people to bother me when I'm in a particularly low state. You know what I mean?
Like,
and it's impossible for those people to know when I'm in that low state until they, you know, approach me and I snap. And I don't like doing that. So hence I'm more private, I guess. But what do you think? Do you think that I've gotten better about talking to people over this year and talking about myself over this year?
I think you've got more relaxed. I think that you'd always give it a go from the start, but you were really self-conscious about it and it made editing really, really difficult for you because you wanted to chop a lot of things out, which I think, you know, those are the bits that people really relate to you about, things like that. So I think you've got to a point where you kind of have faith that the community is behind you and that they're going to understand what you're trying to say, or they're going to understand, you know, your pauses or your thinking and things like that, and that they'll just go with you because, like you said, we're all on the same page. We're very like-minded, and our community struggles with similar things like brain fog and medication side effects. So I think it's not necessarily that you've got better. It's that you've stopped questioning yourself, which I guess, you know, does make you better. But I think you were always naturally good at it. And it was just that you'd then come back afterwards with that really critical lens, especially because you are the audio editor and you'd have that opportunity to hear it again and then worry and overthink about it.
Yeah.
Long term, you know, if anybody wants to sponsor us for a year's wage of an audio producer or something, hit us up.
Or like elocution classes or something.
I'm not doing those.
No, me neither. It's interesting because early on in the year, I talked to my psychologist about the podcast, and he's really pro it and everything. And I was talking about literally that, about how I'm editing out my stammering and the ums, which I still do because I think that some ums are fine, but too many are not. And he said, basically, it's interesting that I would be so critical about I don't remember the words he said, so I'll just like paraphrase, like the rougher edges of a podcast about being differently brained, about a neurodivergency podcast, like that I'm trying to make this sort of like polished product and like literally cutting out the bits that make it unique. It's something that I struggle with because it still has to be listenable, obviously.
Yeah.
And I do have standards when it comes to audio, but it's a really salient point that he made and that you make today.
No, you're right. It's a balance between making it a cohesive, pleasant experience that people can listen to and also making sure that, you know, we're not robots and that it's still us in there and that we're talking, you know, in the way that other people would expect us to talk and things like that. Like, I have friends who listen to it, and if I start talking weird, they'll ask me why I'm being fake. So thank you for not doing that. We're going to go to a really quick break, and on the other side of it, I will have plenty more questions for you, Lachlan.
Oh, no!
The smallest packages can reveal the biggest hearts. This is one of the beautiful philosophies that underpin short story and make them one of our favourite places to go to for gifting occasions. With gorgeous products focused on spreading love and joy, they really are the perfect treat for yourself or someone you love. Whether you're after something beautiful and timeless, hunting for the Marvel or Star Wars lover in your life, or maybe you've got a Disney adult in the family, there really is something that will suit any gift idea, any age, and any budget. With Christmas coming up, there is no better time to check out Short Story and give a gift that your friends and family will cherish for years to come. All right, we're back. Are you ready? Strap yourself in. You seemed pretty concerned.
Be gentle.
Well, you asked this of me, and I'm so, so glad that we both definitely had this question in. So time to put the spotlight on you. Without making enemies, did you have a favorite guest or a favorite episode?
Well, I'm not going to play favorites. I'm not going to make enemies. I'm not going to answer this question. No, I will answer the question. There's a couple that I really enjoyed for very different reasons. I really enjoyed our interview with Claudia, because it was utter chaos the whole time.
It was.
And like, but it wasn't chaos in a bad way. I mean, it was difficult to edit, but like at the time, it was so much fun. and everyone was having fun with it. We kept apologizing, saying, oh, we're really sorry about this, Claudia. And she's like, no, this is great. Don't apologize. Because they were like,
I'd forgotten about that. That episode was absolutely insane. Her dog kept coming in and out. My dog kept coming in and out. I had a dishwasher technician here fixing my dishwasher halfway through. Oh, my God. I'd forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah. I also really loved Alicia Elliott's episode, primarily because that book, And Then She Fell, is one of the best things that I've read this year. And to, you know, talk with the author of it was really, really cool. Also, the fact that she has bipolar disorder and we were able to kind of bounce a few things off of one another. Same thing with Steph Cuthbert. Talking to people, to other people with bipolar disorder, there's so many differences between how it kind of manifests, but then there's certain things where it's just like, oh man, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I enjoyed those ones a lot. I basically enjoyed all of the guests, okay, Jacinta? Everyone was really good.
Has it been interesting for you? Because obviously we've spoken to like a bunch of different people with a bunch of different backgrounds and different careers. Have you noticed any like big differences in our guests across maybe like, you know, we've interviewed authors and other podcasters and Claudia is a people and culture person in startups. Do you have a particular pocket of people that you like to talk to? I got told we need to have less authors on the podcast.
Oh, please. That's we Jacinta and I went to university to study writing, okay? We're going to have authors. I enjoy talking to authors. The thing that I find super interesting is that pretty much everyone that we spoke to was just extremely lovely, like really nice to us. And that's all I really care about when I'm talking to someone, is that they're nice. The shared interest with writing and that kind of thing is obviously really good. Like my favorite question, because it's the question that I always ended up asking, was the media representation of the neurodivergence or mental health in the wider world. And I liked that question because A, it allowed me to find new stuff, but most of all, it was like a point at which I could really, really relate to the person that we were speaking to, because I consume a lot of media. That's what I do with my time. And I think basically whenever there was someone who had some really good ideas and there's stuff that I could say, hey, I know that thing that you're talking about, I enjoyed that a lot.
Do you have a guest wish list for me for next year?
Oh, dude, yes, I do. And I'm just trying to remember who was on it. I've sent you stuff. Like, I've literally sent you things on Facebook saying, can we get this person on the show?
Yeah, I was just going to give you an opportunity to do it audio style.
Well, Rose Matafeo I want on the show, obviously.
Yep.
Yep. There's a person who I watch on YouTube. So when I'm trying to sleep, sometimes I do the bad thing of using my computer and watching stuff on my computer before bed.
Been there.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'm always there. And there's this one YouTuber that I watch called Nostalgia Tree. And she does, like, Let's Plays of Oblivion, the video game Oblivion. So you can tell what I'm interested in. Mm. And, she mentioned having ADHD. It would be like, I have no idea how we would even get that person on the show, but I was watching and I'm like, that person, please, Jacinta. Anyway.
That'd be a very different guest to anyone we've ever had. I know. So if anybody can get our podcast to her and then get our details and our podcast to her, hit us up.
Yeah.
Let us know, share it. We need to connect.
Yes.
Also, Rose Matafeo while we're there.
Yeah, please. And finally, Stephen Fry, obviously. I have no idea why we haven't already had him on the show at least twice.
I love your consistency. That is who you asked for at the start of the year. Yep. That is who you're asking for at the end of the year. Look, I don't know how to get in touch with Stephen Fry's people, but if someone could get the podcast to Stephen Fry, like, you know, surely there's a 7 degrees of Stephen Fry, right?
So, of course. Yeah, there has to be.
Of course. So at some point, someone needs to do us a favor and just keep passing it up the chain. That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Oh, also, Rod Gilbert.
Also, yes.
Yes.
Again, 7 degrees of Rod Gilbert.
Yeah.
Everybody help. This needs to be a social campaign. It's a community effort. You guys want to hear from these people. We want to talk to them. Get it done.
Maybe I should put a list out on the socials, on Instagram and Facebook, of the people on my wish list and make a
Please
big deal.
Because,
like, if they all just started coming back to me now, not all of them, there are many more. But,
please.
Yeah, I'll do that.
In the new year, everyone look forward to Lachlan's reels based on podcast guests he wants to have that we may only be able to reach through social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting us back on track, what is the biggest thing you've learned this year? Or what have you learned generally?
I've learned a lot about sensitivity, which is going to, that probably sounds a bit weird, but it kind of goes into the whole thing of like empathy being the thing that's going to change the world. Like, you talk to and listen to people who have got experiences that are different to yours in a space that it's a non-hostile space, then you start to notice in your own life that you are making differences in how you approach certain situations and view other people. So I've never been particularly, like, I've never been sort of bigoted towards people who have neurodivergence or mental health issues. I've never done that, but I've also never really thought about it that much, you know? Like, I've never really, it's never been at the forefront of my brain. And now it really, really is, to the point where I can put that lens on and approach any situation with that lens in place if I want to. And there's still so much more, obviously, that I could learn about neurodivergence and mental health. It's still like tip of the iceberg stuff, but it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of like how when you, this is going to sound dumb as well, when you learn about feminism and suddenly you put on the feminist lens and you see the world with that lens, and it's kind of affects everything. It's a similar kind of thing. And I think that the more of those sort of lenses that you collect and utilize and think about, then the better it's going to be for society in general, I guess.
Yeah, it's all about seeing things from other people's perspective and widening your own gaze, because obviously something that you've experienced and, you know, is normal or traditional or easy for you could be completely, completely different for someone else.
Yeah.
So I think that's it makes so much sense.
On a more specific level, I remember in the episode when we spoke to Steph about her bipolar, and she spoke about the middle period between depressed and manic. There's like this sort of like middling area where it's not a pleasant place to be. It's not like a stable or anything. It's kind of like a daydream zombified space. And I didn't have a way to conceive of that personally until we had that episode. And I was, because I, that's me. That is where I am at most of the time. I think just kind of generally speaking, all of the guests have really given me something that I have never even heard of or thought about before. Like, every single one of them, I've come away learning something different.
That's wonderful. I love that. What was the biggest surprise of the year?
That we got Jordan Steele John on the show? What?
I actually remember when we got that email back, and it was just so insane. We were just like, because, like, you know, we've had some fancy named people, but yeah, fair enough. That was a pretty big surprise.
Yeah,
but
man.
Now, twice.
And not only that, the interview when it happened wasn't a didactic kind of, we are the voting public and here's the politicians. Like, it was fun. Like, it was a fun conversation. Both of the conversations were.
That was one of the things that Lucas said when we got off from the last interview that we did with him, where he just said he could hear me cackling the whole way through because, you know, he drops the tea and he's a bit spicy and he gets it and he's funny.
Yeah.
No, that was, yeah, fair enough. That was a surprise when he said yes, and then an absolute delight actually doing those interviews.
Look, there's been so many really, really pleasant surprises this year, though, with the podcast, and it's wild to me that this has only just happened within the span of our first year doing it.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we partnered with Short Story, amazing and also something I'd never expected would be a thing.
We got featured on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what
for
the
like
hell?
A month right next to Auntie Donna for ages, which was amazing.
It's just, it's very difficult to be able to express how crazy and wild and amazing and kind of maybe a little bit scary, but in a good way, things have, like, the momentum that we've got. I think that's probably the biggest surprise, is the momentum at which we've grown in the first year.
You've maybe already covered this, but I'm going to ask you again because I want to drill it in. What are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of you, mate.
Aw, buddy. Aw.
I'm not kidding, though. It sounds jokey, but I am very proud of you for coming up with this idea in the first place and also sticking with it and all the things that you do behind the scenes, as well as the way in which you're able to talk to our guests so easily. I am proud of you. So, yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me cry again.
Oh,
that was meant to be a hype up for you, not for me. Oh.
Well, there you go.
Now say one nice thing about yourself, please.
Okay. I'm proud of myself for learning how to use Audacity better.
Thank you. Oh, you're so nice. Oh, my God. That really took me by surprise. Thank you.
Oh, that's all right. No, look, I'm proud of the both of us as well and the podcast. It's the thing, I've not been shy about the fact that this year has been fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Just nothing has gone right. This is the only thing that has gone right. And having it there in my mind, in my attention every day is, I don't know, I'm proud, but I'm also, I'm showing gratitude. I'm doing gratitude.
Woo!
Finally. I'm grateful. Yes. That's all.
Wonderful. Almost final question.
Yep.
What do you want for next year?
What do I want? I would like, this is something that we're obviously going to have to talk about when we do our sort of end of year meeting, right?
Yes, bring it up right now publicly.
No, it just gives you a bit of time to think about it. I like the idea. I don't know why. It's probably because the other podcasts I listen to but are on completely different topics to ours have got these. But I like the idea of, like, regular segments about a thing. So, like, I don't even know what it would be, but I think maybe some of our questions could be turned into that. And also, like, the Facebook posts that we put up,
In our private community Facebook group, which if you'd like to join, head to the show notes.
Yeah, like every day there's a new question, like a new prompt for a conversation, and they could very easily probably be turned into segments. Anyway, that's something. Aside from that, I'd really like for us to basically do what we've been doing this year, but bigger and more.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we've done a pretty good job so far this year, and obviously there's stuff that we need to expand on to make a thing sustainable and long-lasting. But I think that what we've done, we've kind of tapped into something that's fundamentally good, and we just got to do more of that at a bigger scale, you know. Also, I'd like maybe another editor just to work alongside me. I don't want to give it up completely because I'm too much of a control freak, but someone alongside me, you know.
No, fair enough. An extra set of hands, just absolutely wonderful. Really, really get it.
And maybe a social media manager as well, so you didn't have to worry about doing not even a social media manager, but someone to do the show notes. Just hire an intern to do the show notes.
Because of all the money we're making and all the employment opportunities we have.
This is Australia. We don't pay interns.
Oh, my God, we're not getting an unpaid intern. Jesus. Good try. You swing for the stars, Lachlan. Those are some pretty fair ones. So, you know, fair enough. I honestly think, you know, I'll do my best with your guest wish list, but look, we'll see what happens with the rest of it.
That's all I ever want, to be honest.
There's nothing that's going to make us bigger or more than having Stephen Fry on the show.
I know.
So, you know, Final question. Are you ready for it? It's a big one. It's a doozy. You better be scared. Are you ready?
Shit. Yes.
Will you return in 2024 to be my podcast partner?
A lot of people have been asking about this, and I've been very quiet and reserved with my responses because I haven't really wanted to get anyone's, you know, the rumor mill running, that kind of thing.
You're a popular man. You've got a lot of demands on your time. Yes. A lot of people knocking on your door.
I can reveal today to you and to the listening public that in 2024, I will be returning to Differently Brained for a second season. What about you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. I'm not just going to give you my brain job. Serious?
Yeah, that would be a mistake.
Thank you for humoring me and answering all of my questions and for taking those moments to express some self-gratitude. I'm very proud of you for this year and for, you know, jumping in and saying yes and doing this with me because, you know, you seem to think I could do it by myself, but I 100% couldn't and wouldn't. So very, very, very big thank you.
Thank you, mate. We work well
together. Pretty great. Pretty great. Yeah. But biggest thank you of all to all of our listeners for this year. We've said it again and again and again, and so I know it may not sound as genuine this time, but I swear it is. The fact that we have listeners not only in Australia, but Italy and France and Canada and Africa and just all of these different countries and continents has absolutely blown our minds that you guys are along with us, that you share with us, that you follow us on social media, that you joined our private Facebook group, that you've DM'd us, that you've emailed us, that you've done literally anything, even if you've engaged and you've just listened and you've never reached out before. It means so, so much to both of us.
It does.
We are acutely aware that we couldn't do this without you guys. So as we end the year with our final episode of 2023, basically just a huge thank you for getting us through the year, basically, and meaning that we will have a season two of Differently Brained in 2024.
You all best look forward to it. It'll be good, presumably.
We'll see you next year, guys.
See you guys. Thank you. Differently Brained shares the opinions of individuals and does not consider your personal circumstances. Differently Brained exists purely for information purposes and should not be relied on as health or medical advice. Because no brain is the same, please consult your healthcare professional for your personal medical needs.